After the closing jingle this week, we have a very cool interview with Michael Ray. A lot of stuff to talk about with him. And matter of fact, I think if I recall right when we did the interview, he was in the woods turkey hunting or something like that. So that'll be right after the end of the closing jingle. Stick around for that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba. The podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Sing along at home if you know the words.
I took that bed and hit my son a paya.
Paya. Paya. The podcast this week is sponsored by our wonderful friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. As we are here in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, you can see the logo on some of the shots whenever we do pullaways and all that. We love O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Paya!
I took that bed and hit my son a paya!
I love her, man. Love, love, love. So I'm going to just jump right into it. So this next week, are we going to do a podcast or no? Because remember, we're going to take Friday off. Isn't that the plan?
Then we should do the podcast on Thursday.
Okay, so we're going to do
schedule.
Okay, so it'll be a day earlier.
Advertisers know if we're not
okay.
Doing it.
All right. So if you are a podcast fan and you always wait for the podcast on Fridays, next week it'll be on Thursday because I am leaving after the show on Thursday, after the podcast on Thursday, to fly to go see my mom. To go meet my birth mother, which is crazy when you think about it. I'm actually starting to get nervous about it. I wasn't before. I've been all like, yeah, it's all no big deal.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of hitting me because I'm
crazy,
a week away.
Man.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, this is a big deal, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I was adopted when I was a baby, and through Ancestry and all that, I was able to find. Family members who pointed me in the right direction, found my birth mother, reached out, talked to her. I've talked to her a couple times on the phone. It's very awkward, you know.
What is so awkward about? I mean, is it awkward just because of what went down, or she's just awkward herself?
I think she's just awkward. Or we have no connection, none.
Does she know anything about you at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, again, I've known who she was for the last couple of years, so I've sent her, like, you know, our little photo Christmas cards and all that kind of stuff, and she, you know, I don't know, it's weird.
Does she know what you do for a living?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm like, did I tell her? Yes.
Imagine if he just sent her our elfed up Christmas cards. She's like, I mean, that? Okay. All like, right. No context, just
just all of a sudden
Bubba in an elf hat or, like, you in an angel robe.
The angel ones are still my favorite Christmas cards we ever did. So she knows and all that kind of stuff. But, like, she lives in a very small town that does not have hotels or anything. The closest hotels are 45 minutes away. So I'm having to do Airbnb and all that kind of stuff. And I'm staying in somebody's backyard, basically. They have, like, a mother-in-law shed that they've converted into an Airbnb, and that's where I'm going to be.
Are you prepared for something weird going down on this?
Yeah. So
something's going to happen.
I arrive on Thursday night, and then I'm going to stay elsewhere that night. Friday morning, we're not going to meet until... Okay, here's, again, awkward stuff. I already booked everything, got the flight taken care of, everything's all good. Then, she and I had a conversation about it. Everything seemed okay. 3 days later, I'm talking to her, and she's like, so she calls, and she's like, hey, I just wanted to see if you've made a decision on whether you're coming out or not. I'm like, yeah, I did. I already booked the flight, remember? Oh, yeah, 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 okay, all right. Like,
oh.
Okay. Yeah, so.
But
I'm
mean,
like,
is she just old?
No, she's really not.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, she was young when she had me, so.
Do you have, does she have any other kids?
No.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is kind of a big, big, big deal for her. And I don't know. It's just, it's weird. So yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling with this now. Like, I almost want to cancel. I know I'm not going to, but there's this much of me that's like, you know what?
Bubba, don't pay attention for a second. D, side bets. Does he cancel? $5. Oh, I got $5.
Y'all know me too well.
$5, man. Easy bet. Bubba doesn't.
I got 20 Doge.
20 Doge might be worth a lot.
I wanted to go and get this done and over with last year, but I couldn't because of Corona and everything got locked down. Like, I was planning a May trip. And she didn't know it at the time, but I was planning a May trip. Corona happened, and I had to kind of cancel all that stuff. But, yeah, I had a weekend picked out and everything.
Well,
I'm going. I'm not canceling.
You'll go. It'll be great. You'll have a good time.
Oh, yeah. So going back to the plan. So, yes, she knows that I'm coming in and all that kind of stuff. But we're not going to be able – she has some kind of appointment or something or other, or can't get off work or something. I really don't know.
What does she do?
I don't know.
No.
Like, we haven't talked about that.
That's good, though.
It's –
because
talk about
yes, I mean honestly,
yeah,
it's,
it gives us
yeah. You got to leave something.
This is like a first date on steroids. That like there's so much weird. You have to learn and
yeah.
So I think it's good. Don't ask too many questions before you get there.
That's actually really smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not going to. But yeah, so she knows I'm there on Friday. She does not know that I'm not scheduled to fly home until Sunday night. So that way, if it goes really bad on Friday, then I know I can leave. You know what I mean? I know that. Okay, if it's,
you have an escape hatch.
Yeah, I can try to move my flight to Saturday or whatever, that kind of stuff. But if it goes well, then it goes well, and I'll visit again on Saturday, and then maybe even on Sunday if it goes well. Who knows? I just it's gonna be weird, man. It's going to be really, really weird. And you're right. First date on steroids, because you're going to be sitting there having to have a conversation with someone that you know nothing about and try to make it work. And, you know, you have to have – it's one of those things that you kind of feel like you have to make it work.
Yes. Yeah. You're there. You don't want to sit in silence.
What do your kids think about all of this?
They think it's cool. Like, I met my – so through Ancestry and all that, I met – my first cousin, also on her side of the family, which, by the way, there's a lot going on here. I don't know the full story, but apparently when she got pregnant, the family was not happy, and they've been estranged for the most part that whole entire time. So the kids are like, what? So we got to meet one of my first cousins this past weekend, and it was really great. We had such a good visit.
I called our buddy Drew. Drew used to work in radio, and he did – he's on line 4 right now if you want to pull him up.
Yeah.
Drew did this, what you're doing. He did what, I guess 10 years ago, Drew? Did you find your birth mom?
It was longer than that, I believe. It's probably about 15 years now.
Yeah, so Drew was adopted and found his birth mom and then met her, and like eventually – didn't you have like 4 sisters?
You're cutting out on me.
Now, did you end up having 4 sisters like that you found through that?
Yeah, I had, all of a sudden you wake up one day and I had 4 half sisters, all of which were younger than me. And then, you know, they had their own lives at that point. They were all adults at that point. So kind of figure out kind of the things they did growing up compared to the things I did growing up.
And do you guys have a relationship now, like with the mom and the sisters?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Cut out.
Did you have a relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys end up with a relationship at all?
We do talk periodically. I mean, it's not like, I've got my own family, and then I've got my adopted family. So, obviously, if I have time to spend or going on holidays, I'm spending it primarily with them. But we do talk on occasion, see each other every blue moon, and have a nice relationship.
Yeah,
Nothing too involved, but nice.
That's where I'm at. Like, I don't plan to spend holidays or anything. Like, I'm not looking for another family at all. And I'm sure you were kind of the same way. You're like, I don't need another family. I have the most amazing family ever. And
that's right.
Yeah. So it's not one of those things where I'm looking for more. I'm just looking for, I guess, answers and closure and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I that's kind of where I'm at this point. So I don't know, man.
Well, let me tell you. So I had a heart attack 4 years ago.
What?
And, you know, yeah, when I was 39, I had a heart attack. And so when I'm in the hospital and they're trying to figure out what to do with me, because, at 39, no one believes you're having a heart attack. At that point, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do with me. Are they going to discharge me? Are we going to do a heart cath? And I had the ability to call my birth mom and say, hey, things you might have told me, you know, a long time ago, do we have a history of this? And yeah, every male in our family has a history of heart problems at a young age.
Oh, wow.
Very important to know. You know, I have a half sister who passed away from cancer. Hmm. Good to know. That's kind of information that I feel is being adopted. That's really the biggest thing that you could get as an adopted child is that medical history. And then everything else is kind of a bonus if you get it. Don't think too much of it if you don't. But the medical history, that's really important. It changes my outlook on how to live my life.
Yeah, that's really what started my search in general was, I'm like, you know, when my first daughter was born, they kept asking about medical history. I'm like, I don't know. I was adopted. I don't have a clue. And so I was like, well, maybe I need to find out. And that's kind of where everything began.
And 20 years later, he's finding out.
But look, let me tell you, old man moment. You know, when you have a heart attack, I kind of think that's my transition to being an old man. All of a sudden, you know, you're right. And when I fill out those medical charts and stuff, it's like before, it's like nothing, don't know, doctor ask, I'm adopted, no idea. You know, now I've got like a laundry list of things. I had a surgery, I have a heart cath, I got a history of this. You know, I'm starting to fill in. I'm bringing my resume, my medical resume with me now when I go places. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I also forgot how much of an accent you have. It sounds different.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even hear it.
No, really? Wow. I do.
It just sounds like Drew to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where am I from?
I don't know. Where are you from? Where are you from? Where am I from?
I'm from Texas.
Of course. And it shows. Yeah. And he's proud. But you know what? I met Drew's birth mom at his wedding. And she was really nice. We sat and had a talk. You know, I mean, I feel like the biggest shock to me was that her husband and her other kids did not know about him. Like
Actually, no one knew about me but her and her mother.
Wow.
Wow.
That's it. And so, yeah, it was a big, big shock. And we had the first time we met was almost like a family reunion. Everybody came over. And I come from a really small family, and there's like 35 cousins in their family. And they get together for everything, and they have big holiday gatherings. And I am not used to that at all. So that was kind of a wake-up call for me. And then you kind of get to see kind of what the difference is between genetics and environment.
Nurture, you know, or nature. That's the old Trading Places argument.
I'll tell you, one of my sisters, first minute we're in the room, we're finishing each other's sentences, we couldn't be more alike if we tried. We could be the same. We could have been twins.
Wow.
It's pretty, pretty amazing. And then other things are completely different. Things we got into, hobbies we had, ways we react to things in some cases are based on, you know, kind of what you grew up with.
I always remember my favorite story about you is that you were working in radio and unbeknownst to everyone else on the show, you were getting your law degree and then came in one and said, hey, I have an announcement to make. They're like, okay, what is it? I'm leaving and I'm a lawyer.
That's right.
And they were
That's
like, right. wait, well, you know, they thought you were joking.
That was the first question was, you have to go to school for that. Well, I've been doing that for 4 years at night.
And I didn't tell you guys. Well, don't you have to pass the bar? Oh, by the way, I passed the bar.
Yeah.
I did that at the end of July. Well, that week I took a vacation. My wife didn't. That's what I was doing. So, yeah. And I got a job. I've got to go somewhere.
I'm going to go work for the Attorney General's office as a lawyer.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing to be able to hide from everyone. I didn't want to tell you guys, but I'm actually a rocket scientist.
Well, yeah. And I didn't want to tell you guys, but I've been going to medical school at night, and I'm leaving to become the world's worst doctor.
I've been going to medical school, and I'm now medicine.
Yeah.
I've been going in and eating food for
I'm the ice cream tester.
Yeah. I'm the ice cream guy that no one knew about. Didn't they like when you told them and you get off the air, you get off the break or whatever, and didn't they look at you and go,
for real?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, half of it was incredulous. I can't believe you actually did that. The other half was thanks for saving it for the show. Yeah. So
it was a great segment.
At least we got a great segment.
Right.
That's kind of how we would be actually. We'd be like, wow, what a great bit.
Yeah, follow that by, can I have your key card? And someone's going to escort you out.
Yeah, security's going to rough you up a bit on the way out.
You know, I need to see about setting up a thing with Rodney Atkins, because he kind of went through the same thing, too. He went and found his birth mother as well, and I think they had some kind of drama in the initial parts of it, and I don't know if it ever worked out to where it was a positive thing.
Yeah.
Well, look, I can tell you, because I heard a lot of this stuff when I was leading up to this process. In particular, guys, adopted boys rarely go find their birth parents. We're most likely to not care, not make the effort, be happy with what we got, all that stuff. So my parents passed away, and that was part of the reason why I was looking for some medical history, trying to get a complete picture. But you know, it's not always going to be a pleasant story. And you may find out you are the product of something you really don't want to know or talk about.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared to go into that with the realization that no matter what happens, it's like if you get some medical history, life is great.
Yeah,
that's it. Don't go into it any expectations, or you'll likely be disappointed.
Yeah, just well, dude, that's what I'm doing, and that's why I'm petrified. You know, I mean, yeah,
he's nervous. Like, that's why we called
part
you.
Of me is like, I'm gonna find some stuff out, and this might be a little crazy.
Hey, look, take this from the other perspective, and I tried to think about what my birth mother would be thinking when I called out of nowhere for the first time, and she's got the same horror you do. What's calling me? Why is he calling me now? And in some cases, she's trying to push that away. Look, I had a whole family that didn't know I existed. So when she got off the phone with me, she had to make the conscious decision to tell her husband, who she got married to a year after I was born. She had to tell all these people that I was existing all at once, and it wasn't a fun experience for her either. You know, a lot of people changed an opinion, perhaps, of what they thought of her, which really was incorrect. She's a wonderful person. But, you know, there's a lot on both sides you've really got to think about. I told her in the beginning, we can have as much or as little relationship as you want. You know, let's be friends. That would be great. Let's get some medical history. That would be perfect. And then whatever happens from there, it's like any relationship. We'll take it slow and see what happens.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at. And I wish I could have found my birth father. Well, I did find my birth father as well, but he had passed away like in 2012. I found out through you find all these random cousins on Ancestry. And so that's where I found out that. So that's kind of a dead end now, and their family doesn't know I exist. As far as the mother's side of the family itself doesn't know I exist except for like one or two cousins. And they're like, yeah, we haven't told anybody yet. Even though I've already met them, they're like, yeah, it's still, we don't know how to break it to everybody that, you know, you're out there and you're in the world kind of thing. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly never wanted to punish my birth mother for making a really good decision.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
She had a lot of alternatives, and some of them would have been time-wise easier than what she chose.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to punish her for that. At the same time, you know, it is nice to see what other siblings look like, what people sound like, what they do, what their hobbies are. It'll be surprising at how similar they are.
Yeah. The hardest part in this whole thing, you guys are going to be shocked, isn't the actual search. It's telling your adopted parents that you were searching and you found that other side. That was the hardest part for me. And you said your parents had passed away, so you didn't have to deal with that. I was like,
I have an older sister who's also adopted, and she went through this process when she was in high school, way too emotional to be doing this. But she did. And mom found out, and mom and dad found out, and mom was very upset about it. And that factored into my decision to wait. So, yeah, it's a very difficult decision to tell, you know, adopted parents, hey, look, your mom and dad, I love you.
Right.
But this curiosity, I can't go without at this point. I got to know a little more.
Well,
it's not replacing you. It's just adding a different aspect to my legacy, my story.
Right. My parents were super, super cool. And they just started telling stories because they had corresponded for a while, all the way up until I was like a young toddler. So probably about 2 years of correspondence before that just ended. Who knows why? Maybe I'll find out. But yeah, they were so cool, man. They were so cool. And they've known now for about a month that all this is going on. So yeah, it's not that bad anymore.
Well, look, be careful how you search. I had a lady reach out to me, and she was helping me do all the search. And at some point, I had to kind of cut her off, and I was getting kind of restraining order concerned at some point.
Oh, wow.
She would call, and like, I'm watching her in the parking lot. I'm like, okay, dial that back.
Well, wow.
She's at church right now. You should go get her. Like, I'm going to take I need to call her first. She was all about the about making it happen.
Wow. Well, thank you, Drew. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks for jumping on. This was not planned. I just Drew's my buddy, and I called him on a whim because I knew he went through this same thing.
That's right. Usually he only calls me for work-related reasons.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm used to that at this point.
Drew's my de facto lawyer. When I have a legal question, I call Drew. And he pretty much assume that I'm only calling to ask him a legal question.
You know what's interesting, too, is how many people that you didn't realize were adopted. Like, I made a post on Twitter and Instagram and all that. People came out of the woodworks, even people that you guys know, that they're not openly talking about it. Like a couple celebrities even are like, hey, I saw this, just want to let you know this is where I'm going through, blah, blah, blah. Or they are parents of an adopted child, and they're like, when do I tell them? When did you find out? And I'm like, I knew since the beginning, because my sister used to, every time we would get in a fight, my sister would always go, you're not my real brother.
Oh, no. My sister would say, so she was 9 years older, I wish I'd asked for a little sister.
Kids are harsh, man.
And you were so ugly when mom and dad got you. I wish we would have given you back. But you know, look, the greatest gift ever is having adopted parents. They didn't have you. They didn't get stuck with you. It wasn't an accident. They searched you out and chose you.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
They actually had a democratic process at our house. Mom was telling me that they had a vote. Because they were kind of, I was like almost like a foster kid at the initial beginning. And about 2 months into it, they're like, we have a chance to adopt this baby. What do you guys think? And they're like, yeah, I guess he's been here this long, kind of like a puppy. We ought to keep him.
Was it unanimous?
It was unanimous.
Oh, okay.
At least that's
what they told you.
I always remind them that. I'm like, anytime something comes up, I'm like, hey, I was a unanimous vote. That's how I got into this family. So
they don't want to tell you about the coin flip then.
I'm sure there was I'm sure that was part of it. All right, Drew. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck and enjoy the journey.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew.
I almost said thank care.
Yeah.
Thank care.
I remember that whole process when he was going through it. It was so crazy. I just can't get over the point that no one knew. No one on her side. Like, she's got a whole other family. All these people, they had no idea.
One of my best friends in high school, they got a knock on his front door one day, and it was some 20, 22-year-old kid. And, hi, Mom. And she hadn't told nobody else. Again, her mom knew, same thing. And he showed up. And that was a very uncomfortable few months.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I kind of feel that's what would happen if I started digging around a little more on my father's side of the family.
Yeah.
Because
they probably don't know.
They don't know. Mm-mm. When I talked to this one guy, he was like an older gentleman. He was like a third cousin, but he knew the mom, and so he got all the information. He's like, yeah, he passed away, but let me see what I can find out. And he gave me a couple little quick things, and then he broke off all communication. That was months ago. So, yeah, I'm like, well, that has dried up. So, crazy, crazy, crazy. So I only get half of my medical history.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you knew what he passed away from.
No. Nobody. That's exactly what I asked on the last correspondence.
Well, he was a yo-yo dieter. He used to get on a diet every week. Then every weekend he would fall off the wagon, and eventually it just took its toll.
Then he'd go fight fires and did this physical exercise. Yeah.
I believe he was in radio or something. Mm-hmm. It's been weird.
Crazy.
He definitely didn't have the voice for it, but he did anyway.
Oh, wow. Dang, okay. Man, that was hard. Dude,
I have never, I have never had the voice for radio.
Kidding.
I've never been the announcer
that
guy.
Was a joke. It was a good joke.
It was a good joke, though.
I remember when Big D and I first teamed up, there was a guy who said, "You're going to team up with him?" And this guy with a big booming voice, yeah. "You're going to team up with him? Well, you're gonna lose that major market sound." That's exactly what he said.
We wouldn't be more major market than that person.
Well,
yeah, it's a good. It's too bad this show never worked out, right?
Yeah, it just never did.
Never. Shame. Really.
Hey, good shot of you on with the now. You can't even buy them anymore. White.
Oh yes.
17 mug. The.
I need to order my orange one. I still haven't done that yet.
I have an orange one and it's great. I like it more than I don't know if I like it more, but I like it a lot. It just stands out. You
the
know?
Size is a little different. The color is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just that's kind of my thing. It's like I run back and forth getting coffee, and I'm like, you know what? What I find is that I'll take the cold coffee at the bottom of the mug that I don't get to, and I toss it. So that won't be an issue once I go to the orange mug, because I'll be drinking it at the same speed, and
like
I'll not be
smaller.
I will not be wasting 2 cold ounces.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of excited about that.
That's right. I have a lot of people who ask. I have a lot of people ask, "Okay, like, hey, what's the?" Because our 17 logo is on your hat. It's really, I mean, it's British Rob designed this, our bud, and it's awesome. And shout out to him. I always go, "Well, it's we have 17. We always say that we have 17 listeners and. And they're like, "Oh, okay, I get it, ha ha ha." And I go, "Yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff. Like, it's having 17 gear was one of the coolest things I think we did, because we always talked about it. I'm like, man, I think that stuff would be." And then we're all like, "Yes, let's do it." So now we've got 17 cups and mugs and hats and shirts and whatever. So.
And I also like the fact that it's not all about us. Like, you know, when right. when I look at the mug, or if I look at the hat, like right now I'm watching the stream on YouTube, and I see that 17 on my hat. It makes me feel good, because I know that that's our show is bigger than us. I mean, our show is all about you and your life and all that as you're listening to this. And I mean, this is going to sound nerdy or whatever, but, you know, it's a reminder every time I see that hat that you're on the other end of the microphone, you know, on the speaker side. And it's just cool. It's a little thing saying, "Hey, yeah. Got to remember, keep yourself in check."
Yeah. That was nerdy.
That's well, true, though, but that's what it's about, and that's kind of like why we wanted to do it, and it's a representation of the listener and not us.
Yeah. Hey, Carson, have you sold any more cassette tapes online?
What did I sell?
Oh, you got to tell.
It was
I have
going,
to pull up my eBay to tell you what's in my soul.
If someone does not know the story on this, you've got to kind of give a little backstory on it, because we talked about it briefly on the show.
So I went to, there was an estate sale listed, and I showed up. It's actually storage units. Some woman had bought out, like the show Storage Wars, right? Mm-hmm. She bought them at an auction. She took what she wanted, and there were just boxes of VHS, so old videotapes, and then cassette tapes. And I just start looking through them, and she goes, "There's too many. Make me an offer." You know, and so I'm like, gonna get crazy. "I'll give you $20 for everything." She's like, "Done. I'll take it." Because she wanted, she was
$20 for how many boxes of how many cassettes?
It filled up the entire back of a GMC Terrain. Is that a car? That's a car, right? That's kind of car.
Your friend's car.
That's yeah. I was like, I think that's the car.
Yeah, that's a car.
And
it's an SUV.
We had to put the seats down and the whole thing.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
We're just pushing box after box
of cassette tapes,
And VHS. Effectively, I paid her to clean out the storage locker.
Yeah.
Which, you know, she had to clean out anyway, so really she made a little money doing that.
$20 investment.
$20. So, yeah, so I
And how much are you selling them for?
The thing is, I'm starting them out around 99 cents or like $1.99, and then letting people bid them up. And, I mean, David Byrne just sold. I've heard the name. I don't really know who that is.
That's the guy from the Talking Heads?
There you go. A bunch of Prince tapes just sold. Pet Shop Boys. Made $22 on one Pet Shop Boys tape.
I used to like the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, apparently people do. I just made $80 on Kraftwerk. I think they're German.
That's like the robo music.
Yep.
That was like Daft Punk before Daft Punk.
Yeah, D-Light. Do you remember Groove is in the Heart? Just bought them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how much have you made, you think, off of that $20 investment?
Oh, my gosh. It's been, I think at last count, it was about $1,300 this week.
$1,300 off of a $20 investment.
$20 investment, yeah.
And how much of the stuff have you sold? If you had to take a percentage.
Oh, there's maybe 30. Maybe 30%. I haven't even come close to
so
listing.
So 30% has sold, and you've already made a $1,300 profit.
For sure, made it back. But yeah, it's a lot of work because you're going through all these.
And you have to mail it and all that kind of stuff.
Well, also, I got to research because I don't know who half these people are. I don't know who Craftwork is. It's because I'm just going like, I don't know, put it all up for like $2. Then you realize and you do the research that Craftwork sold for X amount of money. There's some video game soundtrack that I sold that apparently is super rare and people in Japan want it, and it went for upwards of $112.
Wow.
Right? Wow. Like, okay. And then people are like, have you played this? Does it work? I don't know. Where am I going to get a cassette player? Oh,
so you don't even have, you don't even test them?
Yeah, that I had to go find one at an estate sale so I could test them and make sure. And
how
honestly,
how much did you spend on the cassette player?
$5.
So for $25 investment, yep. Now you're rolling. Mm-hmm.
Man, why is she not responsible for all of our retirement funds?
Because then you know what I do? Then I'm on eBay listing, and then I'm like, let's search for vintage T-shirts. And then I immediately put all my profits back into my wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. But you have cool stuff. Like you're wearing the Hot Country Nights with a K.
Yeah, Hot Country Nights today. But yeah, like I just picked up a vintage Def Leppard T-shirt the other day, and I bought.
There are Def Leppard T-shirts out in existence that you don't own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was too young to get them back in the day.
That is a shock to me.
Yeah, I picked up a Rolling Stones jacket, and then I pull the trigger, and I go, "What are you doing? That is $50 you could have like invested in Doge."
No, don't.
Doge has killed it for us over the last couple days.
No, it's
just
back
saying.
Down a lot right now.
Well, that's good. Good, because I have a limit buy. Hopefully,
buy.
It'll hit that. That's all I'm gonna say.
To the moon.
I just love how you guys all got into investing in. It was kind of like GameStop started it.
The GameStop thing was, it got a lot of people into the door. I mean, we've dabbled, but I've never had more fun playing the game than
you know
I
why
have
I
been.
Did it? Is I've tried to make a conscious effort to not open up my social media immediately when I open my phone now. I'm trying to stay off it more. But instead, I still open my phone and I want something to entertain me. So I go to Reddit. And then it was all the GameStop people, so I'd read Wall Street Bets, and that's where I got super into it. And I'm like, I'm going to show them my support, and I'll put $40 into BlackBerry, because that was one of the stocks.
Right.
Which, that has not done Doge numbers for me. But that's why I did it, was just because that was my showing my support for the little guy.
Yeah.
That's why I got into...
I put some initially into AMC because I was like, well, let me support the ones that I actually do. Mm-hmm. I love the movies. So we did that. And I did some into, I think I did GameStop briefly. Luckily, I pulled out of that. Before
how is
I
AMC
lost money.
Doing, by the way? Because I forgot.
I don't even know because I got out of everything but Doge.
I bought a couple of shares
and
of
Patrick
AMC.
Patrick almost got me out of Doge. Completely.
I told you to get your money back out.
You're like, get your money back, sell, sell, sell. And I was like, about to sell, sell, sell. Instead, I sold my initial investment and left the profits side of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that has done very well. So there's no way
and
I can
you can't lose
anything.
Money.
Yeah. So
you're good.
I have no complaints. I will sing the What Might Have Been song a lot when I'm around you.
Oh, yeah.
But that's fine. Just know it's all in love because, again, your whole sell, sell, sell while it's up was awesome because I can't lose anything now.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't think it was going to go for, what was it? It was like 10 cents. And we were like, we all bought around four.
Yeah.
So at 10 cents, it was like, dude, get some money out of that. And then all of a sudden, it's up to 40 cents today. I'm like, that's insane. There's just
to the
no
moon,
way
baby.
It stays there. It could go up to $40.
I couldn't go to bed last night because I kept every 30 seconds typing in my little Robinhood password.
Okay, so we are not financial investors. No. We do not give any financial advice. We're not trying.
Yeah. No.
Do not listen to what we're doing. We're just telling you our little anecdotal stories about what has happened to us recently. So again, we cannot be held accountable if you choose to make any decisions henceforth from anything you may have heard from here on the podcast.
I mean,
did I cover ourselves? Did I?
I mean, you just keep hearing.
That was the worst disclaimer ever. Henceforth, from this very day to time continuum, I mean, podcast things.
Well, I don't
now.
Want somebody to think that we are giving
that we
advice.
Know. No, we're the idiots in the back yelling, "Get those tendies!" I'm like, we don't know yes. what we're doing. Yes. We don't know. Come
I'm
on.
Like to the moon. I think means the price is going to go all the way up sky high.
There's something about Harambe. I don't know. Like, what's the point? We don't know what we're doing. Just, it's just fun.
Y'all into that Harambe coin?
They got Harambe coin?
No, they don't. No, Harambe is the mascot. He's our.
I thought there was like maybe Harambe coin. I was about to be all
like,
up on
we're
that.
No, Doge is enough. Like, it's a dog. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well.
And you do know this all started because of Slim Jim.
What?
That's where the boom came from. Was because Slim Jim like has actually thrown their support behind Doge and is super into memes, and that's why like if you trade because I'm googling yesterday like what happened and it's Slim Jim, that's it. So that's where we're basing all this. On.
The initial spike came from the Reddit Wall Street Bets thing.
Yep, yep.
Then Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And so Elon got it to go from 4 cents to 6 cents, but freaking Slim Jim,
Slim Jim, and their old Randy Savage commercials. They're getting us there.
Oh yeah,
man.
I like Doge. Oh yeah.
I wonder if Randy's on it, man. Oh, wait, no.
He did.
As soon as I said that, I went, oh.
Oh, he did.
No.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah. That's got to be a wrap, right? Like, how do we come back from that?
Can you go out and give us a going away disclaimer?
Yes. Good at those. So, again, don't listen to anything we say as far as financial decisions. We're just dudes and a chick talking about things that have happened in our lives and a little anecdotal, because I like throwing that out there, anecdotal stories.
Nice.
Do not use this for financial advice in your real life. Unless you want to, but again, you're an adult.
Why
you can choose
that
to
in?
Do. I'm just saying, you're an adult. You can choose to do however you do you, and don't worry
Big
about how
we are not
do
licensed
us.
Financial professionals. Anything that they say, do, or communicate should be taken with a grain of salt.
I was.
This
going
is
to
the
add,
guy who poured oh salt in a wound.
Yeah. I was going yeah. to ask.
When you're thinking, do I want to listen to Big D and Bubba? You remember that Bubba literally poured salt in one of his wounds once.
The Big D and Bubba purpose. Show and podcast are for entertainment purposes.
Did I say entertainment right?
For entertainment purposes only.
Or if that's true.
Any similarities to any characters, fictional or living?
Or financial, whatever.
No
blah,
animals
blah, blah.
Were harmed in the making of this podcast. R.I.P. Harambe.
Harambe. Right.
Thanks again, O'Reilly Auto Parts, for sponsoring the podcast.
I took that bed and hit him upside a Paya!
Paya!
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's
Harambe!
Okay, you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Paya!
This is the podcast.
Michael Ray's with us. What up, MR?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Dude, you're late, man. We've been waiting on
and
you.
They put all these up so back to back to back, and then the last one went over a little bit, and I was trying to get out, so I called Seth.
And whoever you called last was nowhere near as cool as us.
That's why I was trying to get over here, man.
How's that work? When you have to do promotion for a new song, they give you go in into a studio one day, and they have a list of radio shows that you call or whatever.
On like launch week, yeah, you're in a studio. They have a whole list of radio stations, people you're talking to. Sometimes it's other outlets as well.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I'm just at hunting camp talking to you fellas. I ain't no studio. Dude,
are you in the woods right now?
Yeah, man.
Oh, are you on your property?
It's not mine. It's a good buddy of ours. We've been out here turkey hunting for a few days.
Well, you're not going to do like Kane Brown and get lost, are you?
Kane got lost in his own place. That's like going in your backyard and going, "Where am I?"
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to get turned around. It's easy to get turned around in the woods.
Okay, all right. When you go turkey hunting, a lot of people don't realize this, but you got to get totally camoed up, right?
Yeah, man, that's one of the biggest things I love about turkey hunting. The other day I was in the army crawling up the side of this ridge trying to get this view on a turkey that we had talking back to us, but I could never see it. I could never get it in view. I didn't know where it was at, but I just love the action of it. I love the hunt, the unpredictable. You don't know what's happening. You know, you don't know if you're going to get one or not. You could have them talking, and you know, you might not even see them or get a shot. And so it's a you against a bird thing, man. It's fun.
And they're really smart. That's the one thing people don't realize. Turkeys, they can see, they can hear like really well, and they don't like people.
Yeah, you gotta like step very slightly or very very lightly, be completely camoed out, and stay pretty still when you are sitting still. But it's one of my favorite hunts.
Does it make you feel like a turkey sniper? Like, you know, like you're having to sneak up and you know build your hide and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just watch Rambo before I go out.
Bubba, what was your call? Someone
call?
Took our call.
We had a turkey call in here.
Yeah, and someone's. Some turkey.
Someone took it?
Yeah, some turkey, as Big D just said.
Some jive turkey took it.
Took
our turkey call. What have you been doing, man, with all this quarantine stuff? You getting back on the road soon?
We are. Shows are slowly coming in. We're playing our second full band show next week in Atlanta. Like I said, they're slowly coming in, but during the break, man, we were just writing a lot, recording. We recorded Whiskey and Rain, recorded this EP that's coming out this year. I was busy doing that, busy with, you know, Honky Tonk Tuesday on Tuesday nights. Was doing that once a week on Tuesdays. We're now doing once a month on that, trying to figure out how we can balance that and be on the road, because it's grown to be something way bigger than I thought it was going to be, or honestly plan on it being. Didn't know it was going to take off like it did, so but I want to keep it going. So we're down to once a month now with that. But I try to just keep myself busy because I just don't do good sitting alone for months.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are, you know, everyone's in the same situation, just kind of like sitting on your hands, and you just come up with new ways to connect with people, and online obviously was the easy choice, and I think it's awesome that you found another way to get through and get your music heard and people connect with you, because you're so hands-on with your fans, and I can't imagine that what you are going through with all that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is one of the things that I'll be honest with you, man. Yeah, you know, when you're on the road Wednesday through Sunday, and that becomes your schedule, you just get used to that on the go life and bus and flying and but one thing that you're also get used to is seeing your fans four times a week, seeing your band four times a week, spending time with your crew on the road more than you see your own family, you know, and then all of a sudden that's just gone. I didn't realize how much I needed not only live shows in that moment with the fans where they're, you know, if I'm doing my job right, all of us are away from reality for that time period we're together. You know, and all that matters is who you're there with in country music and just making a memory that night. And as much as the fans need that, we need that with them as well. And I also didn't realize how much I needed that Wednesday night bus call to see my band. And, you know, it's just all of those things that I don't, I guess you say take for granted, but I think it just becomes a thing that you just kind of get used to a lot of it. And you never think it's going to go away like it has. And so when it did, I really realized how much I needed it for myself and for my own sanity, honestly. And and really, me and my band talked about it, and you know, it was like taking those moments on stage when the crowd's singing back to you a little more, you know, taking those moments when the lights go down just before you go on stage, throw that in a little bit more instead of just rushing through and getting on stage. Because those moments, we didn't know that March 12th last year was going to be our last one until February 28th of this year.
Well, we're so glad that you are back out on the road, man. And congrats on the new song, Whiskey and Rain. It's available. You can get it on the album, Amos. And, dude, we can't wait to see you when you get back in person. We can do, you know, person to person, and Bubba can
– We're ready, by the way.
Can hug
we're
you.
Good.
He can't wait to get a hug.
Yeah.
I'll come see you guys, man. I'll bring y'all a turkey call.
Yes. Yes, we need a replacement now.
Yeah, we're
thinking I get you a good replacement. I got a couple.
Matter of fact, we ought to just go on a turkey hunt. I mean, I'm just saying.
Hey, man, listen, let's do it. Opening weekend was just the other day. So
I just got a new choke. I'm ready to go.
Let's go. We'll make it happen. I got the place.
All right. Michael Ray, everyone. Michael, it's good seeing you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Y'all too. Appreciate it, fellas.
Later. Bye.
Thank you. Paya!